Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Phoenix Business Radio, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studio in downtown Tempe, where we help build businesses and connect you with the right people. I'm Karen Nowicki, and I'm very excited to meet a new business owner. We've been LinkedIn pals for a little while now, and I'm excited to introduce you to Dana Earhart, small business growth, consultant, but that's kind of the thing. Small business growth strategist with Dana Earhart Consulting. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Karen. I'm so happy to be here. And it's just a true testament of what can happen through technology. And when you get to take it offline, you get to meet in person. So happy to be here.
Likewise. And I really do love LinkedIn. I love social media altogether, but LinkedIn specifically, obviously, for business owners and large corporations and small. It's a chance to have an opportunity to get to know and see if there's a connection. And then in our case, right, like what's next for us? And it made sense to have you on the show to share. Me, I'm anxious to learn about all the great things you're doing with your clients and how others can work with you. So that's what we do. We give you a platform, an opportunity to tell your success story.
I am grateful you're here. I'm grateful to be here.
And you are to us via Nevada.
I am. I have lived in Henderson, Nevada for almost 18 years now. Spent 14 years in the Midwest, 14 years on the East Coast. So now I'm working the West Coast.
Very good. And where in the Midwest?
I was born in Minnesota, lived in Wisconsin for a couple of years, and lived outside of Chicago for 10.
Ah, so definitely Midwest girl.
Yes.
Yeah. My husband's from a little town called East Troy, just outside of Milwaukee.
Ah,
yeah.
My sister's in Mequon, also known as Thiensville.
Yep. I think his sister's in that same area.
Small world.
It is. Well, yeah, small but big and mighty world. But I am fascinated on that note with how many connections I have that somehow, you know, there's just always this way to connect, mm-hmm. right? It's either someone's lived somewhere or oftentimes somebody knows somebody that I know, and you would think, how is that even possible when they're on the other side of the world for that matter?
Absolutely.
But again, we can thank social media and LinkedIn for those kinds of connections. So let's talk a little bit about Dana Earhart Consulting. Give us just the airplane view. Who are you and what does your company offer?
Awesome. At Dana Earhart Consulting, ultimately clients hire us when they are ready to grow their business and they know they're also ready to streamline and simplify. They're tired of being tapped out. They're tired of being on the entrepreneurial rat race. They're tired of the cash flow roller coaster, and they're really ready to create sustainable revenue growth.
Okay, you're speaking my language. Mike and I, my husband owns an auto shop in Chandler. Mm-hmm. He's been at his shop for a year and a half. And I've been with Business Radio X as a business owner for just under a year now. June 5th will be my first year. And anybody who's listening who is in our life, I'm sure they're saying, gee, I hope Karen's listening to Dana today. Because we are living that, just everything thrown in. You got to do what you got to do, right? To start up a business. But at some point we have to shift. This isn't my first rodeo, so I know this, but I'm ready for the grind to shift to where I'm more strategic mm-hmm. and less in the weeds.
Absolutely.
Is that what you're talking
Absolutely.
About?
Absolutely. I just got goosebumps because now you're speaking my language.
Yeah. So how do you help business owners do that? And at what time does it make sense for a company to work with you?
You know, the hardest decision, I think, at times is when you already feel stretched thin with your time and financial resources, is to make that investment in how do I shift? Exactly what you're saying. Because in order to get where you want to go, in order to get to that next level, you have to accept that what got you to where you are today is not going to be what takes you to that next level. And so not only is it some mindset shifts that will be needed because I think when we start out as solopreneurs, we are the jack of all trades. We are doing it all. We're wearing 10, 12 different hats in our business, and we feel the exhaustion. And sometimes through that process, we also forget why we started in this business to begin with. We wanted the time freedom. We wanted financial freedom. We had a passion, and we wanted to take that to the world. And yet we're feeling completely depleted. And we're not being of service to others when we're feeling depleted. So it's really about making that shift to say, all right, I got myself here. Let's pause. Let's really get clear again on the vision of where do we want to be 5 years from now, 3 years from now, 1 year from now. And that's when I step in and really help you gain clarity on that vision. And then once you're clear on that 1 year from now, where do I want to be? We reverse engineer it. What needs to be happening on a daily, weekly, monthly basis in your business to move you forward?
Wow. So you mentioned that it is around, you know, being able to shift the mindset. I have helped several business owners start businesses as well as a consultant. And this is the first time, well, outside of my coaching practice, the first time I've owned a business where I can see the vision, which is huge. And for me, it's less about mindset because I'll admit, and you might correct me.
Okay.
I'm going to give you permission to tell me, Karen, you're full of shit. It's internet radio. We can say
all right, good.
For me, it's, and maybe this is mindset. I just need permission. You know what I mean by that?
Yep.
Like I need someone to say to me, okay, yes, we know that you can do everything. Hooray, bravo. Stop doing it.
Right.
And so that is really truly mindset. You're nodding your head and smiling like silly girl. And to have someone, just that someone to say, look, it's time. Yep. I give you permission. You need to give yourself permission. Now let's go to work from a different perspective.
Yep.
Stop doing everything that you're doing that you can hire other people to do who are better at it than you. Am I right?
Yeah. Yep. It's about empowerment. It's about empowering you as the CEO of your business. And the CEO of a successful business would never think that they're the one to be doing everything. Mm-hmm. They would understand that their strength, their power, their impact comes from the strength of the team they hire.
So tell me about the industries that you represent. Is there a specific market and or type of business owner that you most prefer or really get jazzed about working with?
I get excited by the fact that I get to work with a number of different industries. For the most part, all service-based, whether attorneys, insurance brokers, real estate agents, real estate brokers, interior designers, corporate leadership and development, health coaches, of course, other business and operations consultants, back office support companies who are answering phones, bookkeeping, VA services, which I love because then I get to look at this pool of incredible business owners that I support. And I can start making introductions of who of these people should be working together and how do they complement and collaborate to really take both of their businesses forward. So I would say it's definitely B2B, so the business-to-business industries, and also those that are a combination of B2B and B2C. You know, salon owners, attorneys, they obviously can work with both. Same with insurance brokers. Mm-hmm. And I love what I do because I get to learn the nuances of different industries while bringing them the basic business building principles, because business building principles are business building principles. And so much of it starts with the leadership and how are they leading themselves in their day? And therefore, how are they showing up in their business?
Business building principles. Now, people can probably make up their own idea I know what that is, right? But where is that coming from for someone who might have been really good at doing whatever their trade is, even, you know, professional trade, and then they decide they want to own their own business in that trade? Do we always know what a business principle is? I don't. I mean, lots of schools and thought on that. Can you shed some light on what that means for you and the folks that you work with?
Absolutely. And I would say you just hit the nail on the head because so many people are incredibly passionate about what they do and they're incredibly savvy at what they do. That is their purpose, to be here, to bring that to others. And what they don't have is the business knowledge. After spending over 20 years in corporate America and helping to build teams, both in the nonprofit sector and as well as marketing, I've learned, you know, hands-on experience, what it is to build teams, to build a successful track record. What I love are when the business owners come to me understanding that they have incredible knowledge of their craft. They're coming to me to perfect their business building because that's an area that is not necessarily their wheelhouse, their area of genius. But they're ready to learn, they're open, they're coachable, and ready to implement.
in some of the information I read on your website and the information you sent for putting up our podcast after this live broadcast, you mentioned the word sustainable a lot. What does that mean in relationship to building business?
Great question. You know, I referenced earlier the cash flow roller coaster. And sometimes there's even a need in our business for cash injections. You know, we want that 50% increase in the next 30 days or 60 days, whether it's to bring on new team members, to buy new software, whether it's to take our family on vacation, whatever is behind the desire for that cash flow injection. Sometimes it's simply to pay the bills, you know, those first few years. And even thereafter, when you are expanding your team, it's always a balancing act. But sustainability for me means getting off the cash flow roller coaster. It means putting the systems and the structure in place in your business so that when you do have an increase in cash flow, you're able to sustain it. Because ultimately, I think in business, that's what we're all after, is we want to grow the business, but we don't want to have to keep growing it over and over and over again just to get back to right where we were before. Mm-hmm. We want to be growing the business and taking it to the next level. So it really comes down to, is the growth sustainable?
And two things, sustainable and scalable.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So speak to that. I mean, you just alluded to it, but being able to grow a, how would you phrase that? It's growing, sustaining, but also scaling.
Correct. Absolutely. And so the sustainability comes in when you simply want to grow and sustain that growth. So sustain that level. If you know that there's multiple levels, you know, you want to grow year after year after year, then you want to really be positioning yourself to scale. And what that means is understanding that, and I'm going to use a particular client. She's looking to take her business from $500,000 to $1 million this year. And she has a number of different services that she offers to other businesses. And she is incredibly excited and passionate about a membership component of it. Well, that's a $75 a month widget I'm going to use as an example. Mm-hmm. $75 a month. Do you know how many clients it takes to grow your business $500,000 with just a $75 a month widget?
And how many prospects to just get to those actual
the funnel is astronomical. And so when I helped her understand and see that, which of course it didn't take long once, you know, the blinders are lifted and we all have blinders. That's why I encourage bringing on mentors and advisors to your team. She realized that, holy crap, you're right. My team can't sustain the onboarding of that many clients. Even if we could secure them, we can't handle them. Mm-hmm. And I said, you're right. So let's focus on the clients that can bring you in $2,500, $4,500, $5,000 a month, because it takes a lot fewer clients at that level to be able to double your overall revenue and grow it to $1 million industry. And that was something also that she could wrap around what her current team could handle and what growth is going to be necessary in the team to be able to handle that level of client growth.
So when she gets it and that light bulb goes on, what is she doing? She's ecstatic. She's like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Right? She's like, thank you. Yeah. Because so often I think businesses, if they don't have those blinders lifted, they go down this path. And it's a dangerous
path. 6 months later, they're like, oh, wow, I hate this.
Yeah.
Or this is hard. This is not going to get me where I want to go.
Absolutely.
And I'm too far into this that how do I get out of it now? Or even should I?
Yes.
Right. And so obviously working with you, you can be that second pair of eyes.
Absolutely.
In addition to an advisory board member to proactively avoid some of the pitfalls.
Absolutely. And that's what I say is that by bringing us on, we become another set of eyes, another set of ears on your overall business so that you can focus on your area of expertise. Operations, project management, leadership, system structure, strategy, that's where we excel. Mm-hmm. I claim to be a self-proclaimed spreadsheet geek. Mm-hmm. I like numbers. I love Excel.
You can have that title. Because I don't want it.
And that's what a lot of business owners say. They're like, oh God, if I have to look at another spreadsheet. But what I also realize is a lot of them don't understand how to read it. And they don't understand what the numbers are telling them.
And why it's so important.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mentioned the pitfalls. Are there any pitfalls or red flags that people ought to be aware of when their systems are not functional?
Absolutely. Thank you for asking that. And you can see me, I get excited. I know.
Yeah.
The red flags really are when you start feeling exhausted, when you feel like you are exhausted, just spinning your wheels, trying to stay afloat. And you're also feeling like, how in the world do I grow if I already feel like I'm exhausted and there's not enough time in the day to get done what needs to get done? One of the first areas I encourage people to look at is, what are the tasks that you're doing repetitively? Whether it's a daily basis, a weekly basis, a monthly basis, that could be automated, that a system could be created around that to help create some time freedom. And then, how often are you tapping into the business you already have to look for new business, to look for additional business? You know, are you upselling, cross-selling, renewing clients? Are you asking for referrals? That is one thing that is a big light bulb, because so often people forget to ask for referrals.
Right. And if I could even suggest that, just even staying in relationship with the current clientele, so that when you go to have that ask, or you want to beef it up on a financial end, that you have permission to do that, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So what is your follow-up and follow-through and nurturing?
Absolutely. And truly, it sounds like a cliche, but it's the truth. The fortune is in the follow-up. We know that on average, 80% of sales happen between the fifth and the 12th contact or touch point. Mm-hmm. And yet most business owners stop after the first or second. Like literally 90% stop and they never follow up. My personal view is that if I'm in business and I believe that what I offer brings value and will benefit another business owner, it's my obligation to be following up with them. It is not their responsibility to follow up with me.
True. Did we cover all the red flags? So, exhausted, doing repetitive things all the time. What are there any other red flags?
The other red flag is what you alluded to earlier, is when we are looking around, understanding that we may know how to do all of these various things in our business, but is that the best return on investment to have me doing a job that I might be able to hire somebody at $10, $20, $30 an hour for? And I could be taking those 5 hours a week, and how many sales could I close in 5 hours? How many large collaborative partnerships could I be forging in that 5 hours a week that it only costs me $150 to have somebody doing for me?
Sure. What is your background? You didn't grow up in like sixth and seventh grade deciding you wanted to be a business strategist, did you?
No, not at all. I started freshman year in college thinking I was an accounting major because I love numbers.
I was just going to say spreadsheets, that makes sense. That's a given. And thank goodness.
And of course, this was kind of before spreadsheets, right? Excel, I don't know that
but
existed.
Still, but the N-word.
Yes. After freshman year, though, I realized that while I love numbers, I love people too. And I didn't want to just be behind a desk doing numbers. And so I actually was undecided for the next year, following some business classes, ended up with a double major in business administration and marketing. Mm-hmm. And again, it's a question of, okay, now what? Those are broad degrees. What did I want to be when I grew up? And landed with a fundraising consulting company, and went on to spend 15 years as a fundraising consultant working with 501c3 organizations around the country and in London, growing teams up to 100 individuals, locations, and just really juggling that, really thrived in the mentoring aspect of the team leadership, and getting excited when others wanted to be learning and growing and excelling in their own expertise. And in there, I also spent 6 years with a marketing firm. So really honed in prospecting and sales and client service delivery, and just working with different people. Literally one of my part-time jobs in high school and college was a grocery store. And I will never forget the sign at the front of that grocery store. And it said two rules. Rule number one, the customer is always right. Rule number two, when the customer is wrong, refer to rule number one.
I've seen that. Yeah.
And through the years also, just learning from so many incredible mentors that I was privileged to have. For me, it's so interesting because I was not an academic. I survived through school. I consider myself a life learner.
We're sisters.
We are. And now I don't read books just for fun. I don't read, you know, the romance novels. Oh. I'm all about books and all about leadership and business building and learning to communicate more effectively. And just how do you allow yourself and position yourself to be a better version today than I was yesterday? And tomorrow, what I'm going to strive for is to be a better version of the Dana that showed up here today.
Mm. I'm so glad I asked what your background is. Yeah. I didn't realize that. Fascinating. I know that you spoke to this. We've talked about the red flags. You also, I think you just kind of named them off, though, the strategies or the structure around. Can you speak to that a little bit more? So, and let me put it this way, I guess. If someone were interested in working with you, a company was ready to hire you and say, we need you, which clearly, I don't know why they wouldn't. What would that look like? This is a two-part question. What would that look like to get started with you? Mm-hmm. And then what are the structures and systems that you help guide them through? To
Absolutely.
The degree that we have time to talk about.
Perfect. Perfect. No, thank you. It's, you know, I really spend a lot of time wanting to understand and get clear on what is the business owner's vision. Not just for the business, but also for their life, because I am all about creating business growth while also creating more fulfillment outside of the office. I will say, quick little tangent, is in the corporate world, I was groomed to believe that you had the professional Dana and you had the personal Dana, and you don't blend the two. You leave your personal life at the door, you don't bring it to the office, and vice versa. Well, in my 20s, I was all about climbing the corporate ladder. I was incredibly successful. And then I got to my 30s and three things happened. One was 9/11. And I was actually in Manhattan on September 9th and September 10th, boarding a plane the morning of the 11th. Obviously, I'm incredibly grateful that I wasn't impacted like others were. 2 months later, I turned 30. And several months after that, I was in a cardiologist's office with chest pains. Because what I had created was an environment in myself where I had no idea how to let anything roll off my shoulders. Mm. And that sent me on a search to really figure out who is Dana outside of the office. What I will say in small business, you absolutely merge the two because there is only one of us.
It's all we know. Yeah.
And if something's happening in our personal life, it will impact our business and vice versa. And what I want to equip people with are the tools of how to handle all of that and keep the business afloat, mm-hmm. not jeopardize the relationships you've built, the clients that you have. So part of creating the vision and getting clear on the business owner's vision is getting back to why. Why are you in business? Why are you in this business? What is it you're trying to create in your life? And I even go so far when a business owner, when a client of mine is setting a goal for themselves, is what's the why behind every single goal? Mm-hmm. Because if your why is not large enough to overcome the obstacles, the pitfalls, the detours that you're going to come up against, you won't succeed. And so that vision of where you want your life a year from now, in and out of the office, is so much more important, I believe, than what people give it credit for. And so that's where I start with clients, is really getting clear on the life that they want to create and how their business fits into that, mm-hmm. and the business growth within it. And then it's creating an action plan that includes both. I literally will go so far. I worked with a gentleman, he eight-figure business, one of the largest construction firms in Las Vegas. And he was one of the managing partners. And he came to me, not necessarily for the standard business consulting, but he needed somebody who understood business, but could also help him find more joy in his life. Mm-hmm. Because when you're not happy in life, you are not showing up as your most effective, impactful individual in your business. And the first thing we did is I said, make a list of 10 things that put a smile on your face, whether they're things you've done, whether the things you want to do, whether the things you haven't done in decades. Mm-hmm. And he made his list and I said, okay, go schedule one of those on your calendar this week. Because there's just as much enjoyment and joy that comes from knowing that you have an event coming up or a vacation planned as it does to actually do it. And it's amazing how that simple task, I just did that with another client. She's been so focused on growing the business. I said, okay, I'm going to shock you because I'm going to have you set a goal that has nothing to do with the business. She did it. She acquired 3 new clients this week.
Wow.
It's so powerful. It's mindset, but it's also tangible actions that you can take. And what happens is your business grows and you're happier. Mm-hmm. Isn't that what we're all after?
Yeah.
So as far as the systems, you know, once we have the vision, we put together the action plan, there's really what I believe 9 essential systems in business. And some people will say, 9, holy crap, I don't want to be focused on 9 different things. And I would say, don't. You know, let's hone in on what are the top 2 to 3 that you should be focused on right now that will have the biggest impact on your business right now.
Yeah, get those humming, get those going, and quite likely passing them off to either internal team or somebody that you're working with, right?
Absolutely.
And then focus on the next set. So I think you rattled them off. Did you share?
I don't know that I have. Yeah. I will rattle them off really quick though. And obviously there's so much more involved than just them off. But first, of course, is lead generation. But I will say, before you get to lead generation, it's marketing and it's understanding who is your ideal avatar, not who is your audience. Who is that one client that if you could service someone like that every single day, that is your ideal perfect client. Mm-hmm. And the more specific you are, the more successful you will be. And I think that's anti what most of us think when we go into business. Certainly, it was not my thought until I got mentored in the appropriate way to approach it. But I figured I'm a small business growth strategist. I can work with any small business. Hmm. That's way too broad. Mm-hmm. The larger your net, the less you'll catch. The smaller your net, the more specific your niche is, the more you will catch.
I love that.
And the reason behind that is when I know that I am talking to Jane Doe in my messaging, whether it's my social media posts, my videos, my blogs, whether it's when I'm out networking and in my 60-second commercial, if I am using verbiage as if I'm talking to that perfect client, the verbiage I use will be so specific, my prospects who are my ideal client will stop in their tracks because they're going to say, she's talking to me. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And when you're too broad, they just keep walking because they don't know that you're talking to them. So it's really understanding the avatar behind who is it you're trying to reach. It's the lead generation system. Then you're moving into the offer. What is the product or service that you offer that is going to bring value to mm-hmm. their business, to their life? Sales. Once you know what you're selling, now you need to really perfect your sales system. How do you convert these prospects, these leads into actual clients? And what does that entire system look like? Naturally, with that, the other system is the follow-up and the nurturing. Those that may not close on that spot in that first contact, what are you doing to cultivate that relationship moving forward? Then you get them on board. It's your client delivery system. So how are you putting a system around delivering not only what's expected, but I'm going to encourage you, what are the little touches that can take it above and beyond what's expected, and what is going to help you stand out above your competitors? Because we all have competitors. And what is unique about you? And you want to make sure that they feel special during their entire time of being your client. And then the 6th is financial. So do you know your numbers? I will say one of the biggest distinctions between a hobby owner and a business owner is, are you tracking your numbers? Just recently, I went through, had a call with a client, and she was feeling great. It was her best month. She had 4 new clients, was really feeling good. And I said, what's your cash flow? And she didn't know. So she had a homework assignment. She went back, she got it, and I got an email. She's like, I am so glad you had me do that. I actually brought in more this month than I realized.
I anticipated that. Sure. Interesting.
Yeah, isn't it? And I'm like, that's why you don't want to miss those opportunities.
Because she was
to
celebrating
celebrate.
The emotion of it and the feeling. But you've got to put the hard numbers to it. And it was even better than she had anticipated.
Absolutely.
How cool is that?
And, you know, sometimes you'll look at the numbers and they're not as high as you expected.
But equally important, or even more so, actually.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And that gives you kind of a fire under your bottom to go out and increase those numbers.
Yeah.
So I also encourage my clients to not just be looking at numbers at the end of the month, because at the end of the month, that's too late.
Right.
You need to be tracking them on a daily, weekly basis. And know exactly where you are against what was projected and against the expenses that you have that month, because you want to make sure it's a positive cash flow. So then you move into the operations, which obviously that's a more global. And some of these systems are ones that you'll want your finger on the pulse throughout. but just at different seasons, it will be a greater finger on the pulse mm-hmm. as you really dive into how can we strengthen the system to be able to scale the business and really sustain the growth moving forward. Mm-hmm. And the last system is leadership. And that really comes down to, you know, what kind of culture are you creating? And the truth is, I think as a solopreneur, we think, well, there is no culture. It's just me. Wrong. Mm. You are your culture. And you want to make sure that you're creating the culture that you want. And as you add team members, you want to make sure that they're embracing that culture. I mean, look at Zappos, for example, on what they've created and really the paradigm shift that they've been at the forefront of creating in an environment for their employees.
Yeah.
Leadership is also, you know, the strategy, the planning. It's how, as a leader of this organization, how am I continuing to grow myself? Because if I'm not growing me, I will guarantee you if the owner stops growing themselves, their business will plateau.
Sure.
And 9 times out of 10, I also know that when clients come to me saying, hey, my business is going okay, but I've been in the same place for a couple years, the first thing I will ask is, what have you done to grow you?
Yeah.
And they look at me like, what are you talking about?
but as soon as they start to talk about it and you help them see that, of course, they're aware.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So those, in essence, are kind of the 9 systems that we can delve into. But there's typically 2 or 3 that are the hottest, most crucial in any season of a business existence and business growth.
Fascinating. So as a new business owner, you know, and if somebody is starting up and startup, it sounds like, wow, I need all of that. But not everybody comes to you before they've started their business, right? I mean, these are businesses that have been how long in existence?
Absolutely. I have clients 8 years, 10 years, 6 years. The one that I mentioned most recently that's looking to double to become a 7-figure business, she's been in business for 17 years. Mm-hmm. So certainly a certain level of business acumen. And what I will say is, you know, businesses grow in different ways. Her business was phenomenal with the systems and operations. She kind of fell into it by chance, following her passion, following what she was good at, and then bringing others who were good at that as well. What we needed to help her with was really elevating the leadership and the sales. Again, if you're going to go from 500,000 to 1,000,000 and you're your number one salesperson, you got to be good at sales and you got to be following your numbers.
Right. I'm fascinated by you.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. And I'm thinking of other coaches. I'm going to use the word coach, but consultants mm-hmm. that I've hired, and I've also run in the same circles with. And a lot of folks, they sound like they're going to be great people to work with, but they have such a canned or cookie cutter version of how they work with people. It's not a good fit for everybody. You're nodding your head yes. So this sounds, when working with you, Dana, that it's highly customized.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that stems from 20 years of hands-on experience. 6 of those was with a boutique consulting firm where I was the only full-time employee as the vice president of that organization. And so every system, every report, every tracker, every checklist that was created in those 6 years, not just for our clients, but for our internal operations, I created. Mm-hmm. And that was really that stepping stone for me to fully grasp what I had learned in the larger corporate when I was overseeing a team of 100 to now being a team of 1 full-time employee with some contracted support, then some part-time support. How does a business grow from $100,000 or $200,000 a year in annual revenue to 7 figures. And understanding that what we were teaching our clients to do could also be applied in our own business. And it was really learning from that that I landed where I am today. And in total honesty, when I opened my business 5 years ago, I was going to be a life coach working with busy career women, helping them find their own personal balance.
We are sisters. Wow. Yeah. I've been doing that version of my profession for the last 5-6 years. And it wasn't until I realized that I have so much more to give. And that's not making that end of our coaching consulting industry wrong, but I really it's all around the business of doing business.
Absolutely. And what I was bringing to them were the life leadership skills, which I, you know, the personal growth and development, which I classify as life leadership. Mm-hmm. I have a passion for that. I was introduced to that probably 2001 in my quest to figure out who Dana was outside of the office. And I was in the throes of it. I was a 40-year-old, newly married, new mom. So I was in the throes of trying to figure out the balance of my life and what was that going to look like. I knew I was not full-time stay-at-home mommy material. My son was going to be better off with having me as a working mom and feeling the fulfillment there as well. Mm-hmm. But what I realized in the first 6 months is that 90% of the women I was either working with or speaking to were business owners. And not only did they need some support with those life leadership skills, they also needed the business system structure and strategy that I excelled with. And it was kind of like ding, ding, ding. The bigger aha for me was that I was running from what I knew.
I was thinking that earlier when you were speaking, you're the whole package. You really have the skill set, the knowledge, the leadership, the experience, and the mindset piece, which a lot of folks who are rising up and saying, hey, I'm hanging my shingle as a coach or consultant, sometimes are very, are more narrow. And not that they can be successful, and they are successful with just that area. But when somebody works with Dana, they get all of you. And it really is this wide breadth, I can't even pronounce that word, of skill set and experience. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Love it.
It is. And I will, I thank you for acknowledging and seeing that in me, because it means I'm communicating effectively that I'm not cookie cutter.
No, I heard that. Yeah, I definitely hear that. Yeah. Highly customized. And obviously just even the few stories that you've shared about the clientele that you're working with, it speaks volumes. These are solid businesses who've been in existence for quite some time and very lucrative. Mm-hmm. And the leadership is, going through some of those red flags.
Absolutely.
And that's a great time to connect with you. Such a pleasure to get to know you. We've already, even before we came on air, we knew that we were going to hit it off. And so I've extended an invitation to have you come back and when you're back in town, and we'll have a similar, maybe even a different conversation, we'll let you pick the topic.
Awesome. I look forward to it.
Yeah. And so for our listeners who are curious about learning more, how can they get a hold of you? Where do they find you?
Absolutely. Thank you. I am happy to offer. I actually have two gifts for anyone who is interested. One is, as we're growing our business, one of the most effective and quickest ways to really find more time in our day is to really start mastering time management. And it sounds so simple, and I know there's so many people out there that do talk about it, and that's because it's so powerful and can be so impactful. When we manage our time better, we become more effective, we become more efficient, we're able to produce more results. So I have a guide of the top 10 tips that I've written on time management to really help start streamlining and simplifying your day. And then I'm also happy to offer your listeners, I have room for, I will say, 7 in the next week, complimentary systems assessment strategy call, which is really you and I get on the phone, and we start really talking about your business and finding out where your time and your money drains may be. Mm-hmm. And then you absolutely will leave that call with a few actionable items on what are the next best steps to growing your business. And simply email me at dana@danaearhart.com. That's D-A-N-A. Earhart as in Tom.com. In the subject line, put Phoenix Business Radio, and I'll know that you heard me here, and those gifts are yours.
So no fee for this?
No.
For the first 7.
For the first 7,
yeah,
complimentary.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Oh, what a treat. Good. All right, folks. yeah, very impressed, very inspired. And I obviously there's a connection here. So I am so pleased that we had LinkedIn to thank for this opportunity. Even though you're not right here in our neck of the woods, I have a feeling we'll be hearing and seeing a lot more of you.
I look forward to it. I have a number of clients here, and my sister lives here, so I'm here often.
Good. Well, tell them thank you for letting us have you for a little bit today.
Absolutely. Thank you.
You've been listening to Phoenix Business Radio with Business Radio X. Some media leans left, some lean right, and we lean business. Until next time, I'm Karen Nowicki.